be a family and a kind of Buddhist. Our speaker was a graduate from the University of Malaya in civil engineering in 1979. He had been a spiritual practitioner commentator since 1971. And since 2001, has been sharing his understanding and experience with serious and keen spiritual practitioners and others while keenly in the search for true happiness, peace and liberation from birth, aging, sense and death, and all manners of suffering. We are pleased to welcome Brother Gyo Kien Kun,
Sa-Dem-Sa-Dem. Thanks. Can it be louder a bit? Louder a bit. Testing. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Chin, your president, for the kind introduction. Before I start, I really must apologize to you. I am late because I just finished my talk at Putrahai Buddhist Society. I just came from there. Then on the way, I was caught in a very short traffic jam. Then I got to make a detour back. That's why I just arrived. Then I haven't gone to the washroom, so I told Suyang, I will go there. Okay, my apology. I'm very sorry, I'm late. Anyway, I was told when I arrived, you are at the tail end of your puja, so not too bad. Okay, today's topic, I think, as you all know, we are trying to promote something that your society and your president has actually told me about, towards a caring and friendly Dharma Center. The actual word is actually towards a friendly and caring Dharma Center. This is a great vision. It is a very noble project. Like I told your president, if more and more Buddhist society can work towards this beautiful project, it will bring about a lot of harmony, a lot of goodness, and a lot of benefits to the Buddhist community, society, and even our planet as a whole. Because the basis of a friendly and caring society is very, very important for us all to grow. For you to be friendly and caring, you must have love, you must have compassion. Understand that? Understand that part? Because without love, without compassion, you can never be friendly. Understand that? You can never be caring for fellow Buddhists or even fellow living beings. Of course, we start with Buddhists as a Buddhist group, because this is what your society is all about. Subang Jaya Buddhist Association. You call it an association. Okay, not much different. So you see, the focus is very important. We have to ask ourselves, why do we need to be this way? You see, first of all, you need to have somebody to start this, which I think your Subang Jaya Buddhist Association committee. I don't know who the idea came from. Was it from you or the committee? Very good. Anyway, whoever suggests and proposes this, I really, really rejoice with it. Sadhu, a Mahasadhu. Because when this becomes a reality, you will see the great impact and how it can be so beautiful. It can lead to so much what they call great things that will happen. Not only there will be a lot of harmony and understanding within our community, all this will spread. It is like love and compassion. When there is love and there is compassion, great things can happen. You only need to have one with that virtue, that ability, then it will create the domino effect to actually bring about the whole transformation That's why Jai Krishnamurti had mentioned, for society to change, for community to change, the individual that makes up the society or the community must transform. Otherwise, it can't. Because human being, by nature, like the Buddha said, because of ignorance, they have a lot of these evil roots. The Buddha called it greed, hatred, and delusion. And the worst part about greed is the selfishness within the human being. Because of their wrong view, the delusion, sakayavidhi, they think this form and mind, this human being is what they are. They create the egoic mind, the personality. That's why they become selfish. Then they try to own things. They try to actually grasp hold and cling on to things. So this brings about what they call a tendency to be selfish. And normally, when we are selfish, we cannot be friendly. We cannot be caring. A friendly person is a person who is very sincere, full of virtue and goodness. That's why he wants to be friendly to you. There is no selfishness, no ulterior motive. Otherwise, it's a makeup type of friendliness. So this particular aspect of friendliness can lead to a lot of goodness. You see, when we are friendly to fellow living beings. This morning, I share with you something that happened. Very interesting. I was there at the coffee shop for my morning breakfast. And the whole shop, as usual, full, because it was a very popular, I think, breakfast place in SS2. So actually, when I was there, I was looking for a place. I couldn't find a place. Then I saw somebody sitting on a table. Then I asked, is it okay if I share with you the table? Is there anybody? He said, no, you're welcome. So I sat with them. Then after that, he finished, we went on. Then after that, there was another few standing looking for a table. Then I looked at them, I just smiled. That's where you can smile. It's a friendliness towards somebody. Then when he saw me smile, he also smiled. Then I said, are you looking for a seat? He said, yes. He said, can I share your table? I said, no problem, come. I said, it's good, share. They were full of joy. Understand? This is how friendliness brings about joy and peace. Then after that, we start to talk. See, it's so different. Then after I finish, I say, I have to go. I said, nice meeting you. Those pleasant kind of speech. He felt so good. He said, yes, nice meeting you. Then after that, you know what he did? I saw the joy in his face. Then he saw people waiting. He tell them, you can join my table. See? It's such a contagious thing. But normally, you know, people in the urban area, even I believe Subhang also said, We are very slow in being friendly and responding. Understand? We just sit there. If you don't ask, I don't do anything. Understand? Even if they ask, you're like not so happy. Okay, nobody, you can sit. But not friendly. Understand? So friendliness is an initiative that the individual who understand is able to actually bring about. And for this to happen, you must have what today's title must have. The importance of virtue. You know what virtue is? A virtuous person, you know? Very virtuous, full of goodness, no negativity. Importance of having virtue and goodness of heart. Like your president emphasized the word. If your heart is good, there is love. There is compassion. When there is love and compassion, you can be friendly. Understand? Then you can be very caring. That's why the people who have compassion is full of love. And because they are full of love and compassion, they are very caring. They can actually sacrifice. You heard of compassion in action, huh? Shiji is a very good example. You heard of this organization, Shiji? I saw the email go around recycling. They did a lot of things. You see, the word Shiji, there are two words. Shi, those who know Mandarin will understand. It comes from the word Shibei, compassion. Ji is like a natural disaster, or what they call calamity, means crisis time, where nature's disaster hit. And this organization is actually non-religious based, although the master, they start as a Buddhist school. But anybody can join, because I was there once on the invitation of one of the members. I was very surprised, that group. They got this brainstorming after every of this, what they call project that they do. They go and help during crisis, like even tsunami, earthquake, or whatever. Even the recent, what they call, I think, in Christchurch, you heard of the earthquake. Very bad, actually. I was very surprised. We were there only last year, I think sometime March. I took a group of Dhamma friends, I think about 20 of us. We went for a tour of New Zealand, South Island and Long Island. South Island was so beautiful. We were at Christchurch too. It was so beautiful. And that place is so different. The nature, everything. But like the Buddha said, when earthquake and all these nature's disasters strike, there are a number of reasons behind. There are causes and conditions for what happened. So there is a fault line going through there. That's why it's prone to earthquake. And this time it hit within an interval of 5 or 6 months. I think last September they had one, now we have another one. So these are the people that need care, understand, in time of crisis, in time of nature's disaster. That's why there are a lot of these various, very compassionate groups moving in to help. So Shiji, it comes from these two words, compassion in action to help people to do all those things. And the beauty about their culture and their understanding is, when they are there to help, no question asked, regardless of who you are, no race, no religious discrimination, nothing. They help everybody, as long as you are a human being. Then they even thank them. That's why the victim who are going through all this, what they call calamity and crisis, they are very surprised. They use the word eventually, kanan. He said, I am in debt of gratitude towards you. The victim said, you are the one that helped. We are the one should be grateful for what you have done. You know what they said? Because they had the Dhamma. They say, if it's not because you have this condition, we cannot do this so-called, what they call meritorious action or this goodness. This goodness cannot come to be without the condition that you all provide. So actually, we are grateful towards you for allowing us to come and help you. It's so different. So friendliness can start once you have the understanding behind. Compassion and love will be the following. That's why friendliness and caring attitude is the basis of all love and compassion. And because it's the basis of all love and compassion, it's the basis of the Buddhist cultivation. All those who have the Buddha Dharma, all those that have the wisdom taught by the Buddha, finally they end up following the advice of the Buddha. You know what are the advice of the Buddha? Dhammapada verse 183. I think you all heard before. The famous saying, Sabba papasa akarana, kusalesa upasampada, sacitta pariyota pada, etam udana sahasana. You heard of this before? Or some of you haven't? Okay, never mind, I will explain. In Pali, the Buddha said, like what I recite just now, Sabba is all, papasa akarana. The Buddha said, all evil is to be avoided. And this is a very important advice. You cannot avoid all evil. Suffering will follow you. Karmically, you will condition your own negativity through your own ignorance and delusion. Then your life becomes miserable, afflicted, because you cannot understand the teaching, the noble truth that the Buddha taught, especially the four noble truths. So, coming back to this aspect, you have to actually have a very clear mind. Why did the Buddha say we must avoid all evil? What is the meaning of evil? That part I will delve into it later. Then the second part is, whatever goodness or wholesomeness you should do. Kusalesa is wholesomeness, goodness. Whatever wholesomeness you should. And the last part is purify your mind. This is the meditative part, to develop the wisdom, the true understanding of life. And with this, you can become very, very wise. And when you have the wisdom, you are able to put to test what the Buddha's teaching is all about. How this nature's law that governs our life and existence, especially the law of karma. You start to understand very clearly why the advice of the Buddha is such. So if you follow the advice of the Buddha, you are able to avoid all evil and do good. What happened? You will have virtue in the end, and goodness of heart in the end. You will not have any negativity in you in the end. And this is to protect you. Because according to the Buddha, the nature's law is very, very clear. He talked about two nature's law, he said, under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. And this will allow you to understand what life is and why you must have virtue and goodness of heart and not all the negativity of greed, selfishness, hatred, anger, envy, jealousy, negativity, and delusion. The reason being, the Buddha said, he said, under Dhammapada verse 1, he said, there is this nature's law. He said, our mind, the human mind, is very important. Our mind is the forerunner of all things. Our mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So you have to be very careful with the mind. Whatever you do with this mind, when you arise the mental intention to act, speak, and think, he said, if you are heedless, if you have not trained your mind to be heedful, then you will arise the evil root, he said. If you act, speak, and think with a wicked mind, with a heedless mind, that condition the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which is mainly selfishness. Suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows you. So he said, your life, you decide how you want to live. If you choose to be heedless, like what you have been doing, or most human beings have been doing through your own ignorance, then when you become miserable, afflicted, don't blame anyone. For this is the nature's law. Every time you get angry, every time you get unhappy, every time you have this selfishness, you check whether you are happy or not. Then you put the test, this Dhammapada verse 1, whether it's true or not. Then he said, your life, you can choose to live the other way. He said, if you understand this nature's law, which is the law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. That's why you have to avoid all evil. So the Buddha, the Dhammapada, was to say, again he repeats, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is cheap. Everything arises from the mind. If you are to act, speak, and think with a pure mind, a wholesome mind, that is free of all the evil things, he call it the three evil roots. The evil roots are greed, hatred, and delusion. He said, happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves. This is the very important aspect of his teaching. The nature's law that tells you very clear. If you want to have happiness in life, what must you do? Avoid? Dhammapada was one. How do I avoid? Train your mind to be mindful, to be heedful, to be aware of your mental intention behind your actions, speech, and thought. If there is any negativity, any selfishness, any evil roots, arise the right effort to abandon it immediately. Otherwise, it will condition your suffering. Like Dhammapada was once said, following the will. That actually the hood together with the rolling bulaka, the wheel that follows the hood. So this is a very, very clear aspect of the nature's law that we need to have deep understanding. Once we have this right view with regards to this nature's law, law of karma, then we will know how to deal with it. The reason why I go into this is to let you understand the teaching so that you can train yourself to avoid all evil, to have goodness of heart, to have all the virtue within you so that you can help the society to bring about this so-called ultimate, a friendly and caring Dhamma center where you can help so many people. Understand? So it is our choice, because like the Buddha said, each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own destiny in life. To be happy or to be sorrowful or miserable or unhappy is entirely our choice. So given this understanding, what will you choose? Will you choose to be heedful, to change, so that you can actually, at the same time, benefit yourself and help the society to bring about a noble project, a great vision that can be realized. Because when we start to have this, the goodness of heart, the virtue to avoid all evil, to bring about friendliness and a caring for this community, there will be a lot of harmony and joy, understand? No more cunningness among the community. Such a community is very rare, very difficult to come out. And we can help people who need help. Understand? In this moment, where we have so much problem facing the world, you see, because our information technology, or what we call the technological revolution age, we are advancing so fast. A lot of things you can actually come to know and read on the internet. We are flooded with a lot of information. So if we don't have the wisdom and the understanding to filter and to avoid reacting to what we hear, what we see, what we read, there will be a lot of suffering living in this. That's why when you understand that teaching, the reason why the Buddha says we have to avoid all evil is not to react to what we see, what we hear, and what we read, or what we think. If you react, negativity will arise. You become unhappy. You become jealous. You become fearful. Because when you confront life, there are so many things that can actually make the human being miserable. The first noble truth that the Buddha talked about, which I have actually spoken many times, even in your this particular place. Just to recap, for those who are still here, the first noble truth that the Buddha talked about is very beautiful and very important. He talked about the reality of life and existence. He said, no matter who you are, you can be very wealthy, very successful, very high in your position. No different. This noble truth of suffering, which is the first noble truth, he said, everybody has to confront. And if you have not developed the wisdom and the understanding, you will suffer. You will become afflicted. You will become miserable. So there are 8 conditions which the Buddha spoke during his time. He said when human beings or living beings are confronted with birth, old age, sickness, and death, if you don't have the right understanding and the wisdom born of his teaching, you will become afflicted. Suffering will follow you. This is very easy to understand, especially disease and death. Nowadays, so common, cancer. A lot of this, what they call very traumatic type of disease. Then he said the 5th one, separation from loved one, is the same. When there is separation through death, it can be disease, natural death, natural disaster, or whatever. Then sometimes it is not through death, it's through relationship failure, divorce, being jilted. All this can be very traumatic to those who are afflicted and affected. So this is the first noble truth, reality. Then there are 3 more, the Buddha said. When you are with people whom you don't like, it can make you miserable if you don't have the wisdom. Especially the mother-in-law and others. Or your colleague or your bosses who are very difficult to get together. Then certain people, they are very difficult. Then the 7th one is when you cannot get what you want. What the Buddha means is when things don't go your way, what happened to you? You become unhappy, isn't it? You become disturbed, isn't it? So when you are unhappy and disturbed, how can you be friendly? I look at your face, I know only you got problem. So when you got problem, you cannot smile. When you cannot smile, you cannot be friendly. And when you cannot be friendly, you cannot promote well-being and happiness. Understand? That's why you must have the wisdom within the Dhamma. Understand this noble truth, understand this beautiful teaching, so that for your own good you change, you determine to avoid all evil and do good. And how to do it? Very easy, the Buddha said, like what you chant in your puja. How to avoid all evil? How to avoid all evil? What do you do to avoid evil? Every day you renew your 5 precepts, isn't it? Correct or not? When you renew your 5 precepts, means what you do? First precept is what? You abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow being. Is this an evil thing? It's very evil. And it's to protect you out of compassion for you. That's why you keep the precept. It's not to give you additional duty to do. A lot of people complain, why the Buddha so fussy? These precepts, some are so difficult to keep, especially the 4th one, lie. So it is not that the Buddha tried to make life difficult for you. It is out of compassion for you. He said, otherwise you become miserable. You suffer. Because you don't avoid all evil. Karmically, it comes back to you. The 2nd precept is, you undertake the training rule to abstain from taking things that don't belong to you, from cheating people, from deceiving people, from taking advantage of situation and people. Again, it's an evil act in there. How you feel when people steal your thing? Deceive you in front of your eye and behind your back. This is something that the human being will become very, very unhappy, because these are the basis of the conscience. You cannot do this because it causes a lot of misery to people. Then of course the 3rd precept, the 4th precept and the 5th precept, you know. When you commit sexual misconduct, it can lead to a lot of misery. especially the couple that is affected. Telling lies, creating all the wrong speech through your own backbiting, through your own very harsh and aggressive manner that you arise your speech. Your communication skill is not good. You are very crude, very harsh in your approach. There is lack of gentleness and pleasantness to develop the goodness of heart and the virtue through a friendly and caring attitude to approach people, to help people, to give counsel to people. All this you cannot do is because you violate this precept. Understand? But when you abstain from all this, it is the beginning of the transformation in you. When you avoid all this, you avoid negativity. You avoid the negative karma. You avoid suffering following Dhammapada verse 1. Then when you have virtue and goodness of heart, when you have all those kindness, gentleness, patience, perseverance, you become so beautiful. Understand? The happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. Then you become a blessing to yourself, the society, the humanity, and the world as a whole. So all this can happen, not a problem. If only we understand how to do it, how to develop it, then like I said, even the committee that started it, they have to lead by example, leadership by example. They have to train people. They have to develop all this ability within themselves first, because they will need a lot of perseverance, patience, understanding, true love and compassion, born of understanding the Buddha Dharma. Then only they become the very strong driving force to see to the fruition of this noble project. A very noble and far-sighted vision that can bring about the true society that we are looking forward to. That's why they say 2012. You heard of this, huh? The famous 2012. It can transform the world. I heard one CD by this lady, Little Grandmother. How many of you have heard Little Grandmother, Kesa? Oh, she was very good, very beautiful. She predicted, she said, based on her understanding, based on what she can feel and see. She can see energy. She can feel a lot of things. Those who have the Dhamma, the wisdom, the understanding, they have this love and compassion. She always said, whatever happened on 2012, remember, 2012, remember, don't arise any fear, worry, anxiety. Stay at the heart. She said, have love and be loved. You will pass through. And when you pass through with it, you will be blessed. You are like the chosen one for the new civilization, for the new era. You know what is this new civilization? She said, it's like heaven on earth, where there will be a new consciousness. Those with the old consciousness will be slowly, slowly wiped off. They cannot feel it, because Mother Earth will survive. Then those who harmonize, they will be healed. Those who go against Mother Earth, means what? Those who pollute Mother Earth. Pollution can happen in many ways. You know how pollution can happen? That's why you got Suji doing the recycling. This recycling is a very, very good way of stopping a lot of this pollution. The plastic, the rubber, the glass, and all those things where the human being consume almost every day. You look at the amount of garbage if you don't recycle. Even the newspaper you read, the textbook, the notebook, and even the writing book that our school children use or your children use, you know, they are at the expense of the trees that they chop. Understand? So if you don't recycle all this, very soon Mother Earth will be barren. So there is this very important aspect. So now they move further in, because they talk about green technology, You know what is green technology, isn't it? The non-pollution type. You try to be environmentally friendly. All those emissions that can lead to pollution, you try to reduce them and replace with green technology. That's why the fossil fuel, they try to use electric car or hybrid. Or even I saw in the internet the latest compressed air technology. Then recycle all those energy through the alternator to charge the battery, then the car runs. So these are the things that living beings are working towards. These two are not so bad. The last one is the worst. You know what is the last one? The last pollution. How do you pollute Mother Earth? Mother Earth has a planetary consciousness. And this planetary consciousness is the summation of all the living beings' consciousness. If a lot of human beings or living beings, they create negative consciousness, what will happen? You will pollute the planet with a lot of negative energy through your anger, your hatred, your selfishness, your violence, and all those things. That's how Mother Earth gets affected. And when it gets affected, the planetary consciousness is like a giant human consciousness, understand? When a lot of negative things come to you and you don't have the wisdom, what happens? You react. You also affected it. Right? So when you react, what happens? You become violent. You heat out. Right? You arise a very harsh and very angry species. So when Mother Earth heat out, what happened? Nature's disaster, earthquake, tsunami, all this will happen. That's why it's the consciousness that is partly responsible for what happened. But not everything is just consciousness based. There is the physical law, the nature's law about how physical elements behave. That's why our planet, there is an earth crust, molten lava within. The earth crust actually, together with this molten lava, formed the planet. So there are inherent fault lines. That's why when we get angry, this thing like anger has to be released. Very powerful energy. That's why it can bring about earthquake and all those things. So if we do not believe Mother Earth, we will have a planetary consciousness that is full of love and compassion. Then he reminds us of what the Buddha taught. During the Buddha's time, he talked about certain civilization in certain world system where all the human beings, all living beings there, minimum 5%. Nobody violate the 5%. Such a world is very beautiful. There are even certain world he talked about minimum 8%. Very, very rare. So, according to little grandmother or mother case, this is what can happen if the planet, Mother Earth, goes the right direction. That's why he said, have love and be loved. The meaning is very deep. What is the meaning of having love? When you have love, means what? No negativity, then. No getting angry, isn't it? So when you have love, you start with yourself. Learn to love yourself. You know how to do it or not? I can tell you, 90% of the human beings don't know how to love themselves. When you love yourself means what? You don't harm yourself, you don't hurt yourself, isn't it? You don't make yourself miserable, isn't it? When you love somebody, you care so much for them, isn't it? But why can't you love yourself? Human beings every time make themselves miserable. You know how they hurt themselves and harm themselves? They get angry. They get emotional. They develop the fear, worry, anxiety. And all this is hurting yourself and harming yourself. You create negative karma through all the evil, through your own delusion. That's why you don't have love. You never love yourself. When you love yourself, means you have this determination to change. to transform, to constantly arise the Noble Eightfold Path factor of right effort, to abandon the unwholesome thought, the thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that will cause you suffering, that will cause you to harm yourself and hurt yourself. Understand? And to do this, you must have mindfulness, sati. You have to train your mind through understanding, through the meditative approach that the Buddha taught. That's like the whole of the Noble Eightfold Path. This is the meditation. And we can start. Don't need to go into the meditative third turning. You can start with the first and second turning. You heard of the three turning of the Four Noble Truths? Oh, I haven't spoken this. I think I mentioned it once or twice in my earlier talk. You see, according to the Buddha, when he spoke the first sermon, he called it the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. You heard of this? After he became enlightened, he came back to the five ascetics that followed him. Then he delivered this very important sermon. They call it the first sermon. The turning of the Dhamma wheel, the wheel of life, the wheel of birth and death. How to develop the wisdom to free, to become enlightened. So under this sutta, he mentioned, he himself, during the early day before he became enlightened, as a bodhisattva, he also had to train himself to understand this Four Noble Truths in its three turning and its 12 home before he can develop the wisdom to become enlightened. Otherwise, he cannot proclaim to be the enlightened. This three turning is very important and very beautiful, but it's seldom taught by the Theravada tradition. Even the Mahayana tradition, which they mention about it, quite a lot of people spoke about it, but no detailed emphasis. But I came to realize this three turning is so important, so beautiful, many years back. Then I actually read the sutta again. By chance, somebody asked me, Brother Joe, that was 6 years ago. Initially, the sharing was on general topic, quite specific. Then they say, why not you share some Dhamma with us? That at that time was at the Slang of Vipassana Society. So I told her, I said, can, no problem. What topic you want me to speak? She said, no, up to you. Then I saw on the wall, they got the Buddha with the five ascetics. Then I said, oh, good, start with this, because that was what the Buddha taught. Then I asked for the book, the chanting book, where they had this sutta inside. So I took it back. Then I saw, oh, the three turning was there, so beautiful. And it corresponds with the three type of wisdom that you can develop. The first turning of the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha said, he just proclaimed to you the Four Noble Truths. First Noble Truth, the eight conditions that can condition your suffering if you don't have the wisdom. Then the second Noble Truth, he said, there is a cause behind all of this suffering. And the main cause is your ignorance or delusion that condition your craving to grasp and click at your five aggregate of form and mind. This part, I don't have time to explain. This is the final summary of the first Noble Truth. Because the Buddha summarized all of suffering. He said, in short, it is due to our ignorance that conditions us to grasp and cling to this five aggregate of form and mind, the human being, that condition our suffering. And this five aggregate I have spoken already once. As a human being, we have a physical form, the first aggregate, rupa. Then the mind has four more aggregates, feeling, perception, activity of mind, or your thinking and your consciousness. This is what your mind can do. That's why he said, he summarized this as the five aggregates. So if you cling to this body, you will become miserable. That's why he said, this body is of the nature to grow old, to get sick, and to die. Because it's only made of element. It's not what you think you are. When it's devoid of consciousness, it goes the way of nature. So you cannot cling, you cannot hold. You cannot say, I want it to be forever young. don't get sick, don't die. This is not awesome. Because this is element. Element will go the way of element. That's why you have to reflect and contemplate on the five daily contemplation to develop the wisdom to bring. And this is a contemplative wisdom. So after he explained this, he told the monk, when you know what dukkha is, the cause of its arising, you will know how to manage your life better. Then he never stopped there. He moved on. He said, suffering need not be. There is a third noble truth that talks about enlightenment, cessation of suffering. Total cessation, not just for a moment, momentum. It's total cessation. You need not suffer anymore. Cessation of form and mind to realize the unconditioned, which is divine, which is enlightenment. So when you realize that there is this hostility, there is a lot of joy, then you know for once there is a way out of suffering. So he moved on to the fourth noble truth, the Buddha said. There is a path that he called the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation, you can become enlightened. And you can free your mind. And you can free yourself from all suffering. But it leads to the cessation of all suffering. So this first telling is, after you have heard this truth, you develop a type of understanding and wisdom which the Buddha calls Suttamayapanna, first level of wisdom. Wisdom born of hearing the truth, the sutta, the discourse of the Buddha. So after that, he said, you reflect and contemplate into what has been spoken within this four noble truths, to develop the second turning wisdom. So the reflection and contemplation into the truth that he has spoken will bring about the condition for you to understand this four noble truth in a deeper and more precise manner. So when you are able to do this, you will assimilate slowly, slowly, and stabilize your understanding. Then it will trigger the second type of wisdom, which the Buddha called Chittamaya Panna. Wisdom born of contemplative understanding through an inquiry into what he proclaimed and spoke. Then the last one, of course, is meditation. We call it Bhavana Maya Panna. He said, after you have got the first two wisdom, you go direct into the meditation, which is the purification of mind. No more using the thought, awareness, the mindfulness. That's why he taught the four foundations of mindfulness, the seven factors of enlightenment. And all this you have to do through the meditative process. When you understand all this, you awaken, then you become a noble one, the enlightened one. And these are the people who can truly bring forth the truth, the Dhamma, and share with the fellow living beings, and really transform them one by one. Human beings' problem is not to say they don't want to change. They don't understand why they should change. When they understand, like now I explained to you, the importance of having virtue and goodness of heart as against a heedless living being, who couldn't care less and create all the negativity that condition your negative karma that bring about so much suffering and misery, what will you choose? You will choose to be heedful. You will choose to avoid all evil. Keep your precept there. Because you are serious about life. Otherwise, you keep on coming back. You keep on repeating this, what they call story of not understanding. That's how human beings become miserable. That's how human beings and living beings suffer. So this is the basis. This is the first thought I want to cover, this fundamental or foundation for bringing about this possibility of moving forward with this particular noble vision and project to bring about a friendly and caring Dhamma Center or Buddhist community. Because when you are able to do it, it actually helps you yourself. Because when you yourself transform and change, you know what will happen. when you have love and compassion, when you love yourself, you become a very different human being. You will have no more anger, no more hatred, no more envy, no more jealousy, no more negativity. You will be very sensitive and friendly, even towards your children, your in-law, your parents, your brothers, sisters, your neighbor, your colleague, your friend. And it is from here that it creates harmony, love and understanding. When somebody talks to you nicely in a very friendly, pleasant and gentle manner, how you feel? You feel good in that. As opposed to somebody who always wants to hurt you, if you don't. Say bad things about you. Very selfish in their approach. Nothing benefits them, they don't want to do. They only see you when they got something behind. Ulterior motive. Such a life is very, very negative. Such a life is full of misery and suffering. That's why the Buddha said, when you understand the teaching, the truth, the Dhamma, you need not suffer. Then for me, I always add, you will know how to live life, truly live, no more worrying about life. Understand? When you know how to live, I tell you, life becomes so beautiful, so wonderful. Because this is the basis of the teaching. When there is the understanding of the teaching, the Dhamma, the truth, there will be true love and compassion in you. Not the one based on concept and idea of what love is. The one that has true love can never, never become angry, unhappy, jealous and all. Because when you have all those things, it's no more love. Understand? Without love, you cannot be friendly. You cannot smile. Without love, you cannot be compassionate. And when you are not compassionate, you cannot be caring towards society and fellow human beings. You cannot do all those things that this project wants you to do. That's why, That's why when we have this understood, first, I summarize, the committee must be the very strong driving force. You have to have a lot of patience, perseverance, and develop your own internal understanding to move. Then leadership by example. When all the devotees, when all the members start to see the importance of all this, they will change, I tell you, because it's good for them, not because of any other things. Like it or not, you will be unselfish. Understand? If it's not something that they see got value, they will never change. Understand? So the Dhamma is so beautiful. The Buddha actually, out of compassion for the living beings, he gave the Dhamma free. Just because it's given free, sometimes it's a pity, it's very sad. Human being doesn't really appreciate what the Buddha has done. They never treasure the teaching, the Four Noble Truths, the Dhamma. They never even cherish what is given. And I tell you, the teaching from the Buddha, money cannot buy. And it is like a secret of life that when you understood, it can free you. It can make you enlightened. It can transform your life. You become enlightened, noble. Very noble in your understanding, with the right view, following the Noble Eightfold Path. Very noble in your action and speech and your thought process. That's why you have right thought, right speech, right action. When you have this, you can be caring, you can be friendly, you can help society to develop this very noble project and vision. Then it can bring about a great transformation to our world planet. So with that, maybe I will end the talk. If you got any question, maybe we can share. Okay.
No question. In thank you, Maharaj, for a very good talk and also good advice. How I wish more of our senior members are come to listen to your talk. I benefit from it in our effort to have to make the association truly fairly caring and Dharma Center, which we set our team for this year. We are more of good and otherwise by Maharaj and to be fairly and caring, we need to develop our love and compassion. And also to be mindful. Be mindful of all the evil and our good intentions that we arise in our mind. And how to move forward from then on. I want to thank Maharaj Jacko for the talk today. Today as we come here to pay homage to Buddha, listen to the Dharma, do our good deeds as well. We have paid some good merits. Let us close this session to share your merits. If you have other questions later on, you may approach other Jacko later on. Let us close this session by making some aspiration. And the shared memories that we have created with all sentient beings, that may this memories of ours lead us to the extension of all our environments, that may this memories of ours be conducive to our temporary environment, may this memories of ours be approved of the other beings immediately while we are happy, we share this memories with all sentient beings, may all sentient beings obtain the shared memories, and we are happy always. Shall we make this aspiration together? The shenanigans in Pali. Ita me punya asala kaya waham hodu. Ita me punya nibana sa pachayo hodu. Ita me nyatinan hodu. Sukita hodu nyatayo. Ima nyotu yabaka. Sapa santanan bema. Ima nyotu Sapa sattanam dema Iman no punya bhakam Sapa sattanam dema Sappe satta sukhita hontu Sadhu 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 Buddham Bhujyami.
Have a good weekend. Give all the good love.